Swarupa Goswami gave us six items which we should try to conquer to become the Goswami. Now he wants to speak about six things which destroy bhakti. Even if we have a person who has this qualification and we want to take shelter of this person, it is very, very important that we try to avoid these six things in order to achieve the goal. He gave us six things we should try to avoid, overcome them. He's going to give six things which we should do, we should avoid also, the things we should avoid. Six things which we should do in text 3. So he begins to explain. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagaha jana sangasta lolyamcha sadviri bhaktiri vinashati. Sadviri bhaktiri vinashati. Once devotional service is spoiled, when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. Number one, eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. Two, over endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. Three, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. Four, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. Five, associating with worldly minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And six, being greedy for mundane achievement. These are the six things. Ati ahara. Ati ahara. Overeating or collecting more funds than required. Rupa Goswami said it will affect our progress in Krishna consciousness. When a person becomes too attached to these things, it will affect our devotion. In history of ISKCON, we have seen so many big Sankirtan book distributors leaving the movement. We have seen big book distributors, really big ones, they have left this movement. Big engineers, were perfect managers. And devotees, the Prabhupada actually appreciated as good managers leaving the movement. Why? What is happening? Not the lazy ones are leaving, but the big ones are leaving. Why? Over endeavoring. Over endeavoring and collecting. Take account of what I'm describing, the status quo. We are struggling to maintain our position, not service. It's to maintain our position, which we have already acquired, to maintain that. We are by endeavoring. And because we don't know the boundaries, what is the boundary between that which is excess and that which is normal? We must know the boundary. When does our services to Krishna becomes a source of distraction? Then instead of making progress, we are actually leaving, even giving up completely devotional service. Not even that we are still hanging around, but we have given up completely devotional service. When we look at the struggle the living entities are having in this material world, if you look at our struggles, the things we do every day, and look at the things which our body requires every day, do they correspond? They correspond? What do we need to maintain this body, and activities which we do every day, do they correspond? We should look at that. Srila Prabhupada talk about excess money, excess money. Does anyone ever has excess money? Have you ever seen someone with excess money? Excess. Can we find somebody who can say that I have excess money? Nobody. Nobody has excess. But if probably talking about excess money, give excess money in Bhagavad Gita chapter 12 purport. We're talking about giving excess money to Krishna to build temple for Krishna. But we have not seen someone who has excess money. So what is excess? Excess money. If you want to calculate it, then we can look at it carefully. How much money it takes for us for a good meal a day? Like how much? Like have a good nice prasadam in a day. Like how much it could take in a day? 200 rupees. Okay, let's say 200 rupees. Good prasadam, right? 200 rupees. That is for anybody, not just for devotees, for anybody. So how many hours do we work in a day? How many hours do people work in a day normally? 8 to 10 hours for 200 rupees? 200 rupees? You work for 2 hours? For 10 hours? So how do you call that? What is that? Atyahara. That's excess. So any money which we have more than 200 rupees is what? Excess money should be given to Krishna. If you don't do that, it's a burden. We're thieves. Stealing. It has effect in our practice. When we start taking shelter of money instead of Krishna, our devotion will be affected. Instead of taking shelter of Krishna, putting our faith in Krishna, we're taking shelter and putting faith in money as our protector, as our guard. It will affect our practice, our progress in Krishna consciousness. In Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encourages devotees to eat. He encourages devotees. He served Krishna, Nanda Prasadam to people. At the same place, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned Raghunath Das Goswami, don't eat luxurious food. Don't. Do not take luxurious food. That is sense gratification. Luxurious food, sense gratification. Rupa Goswami is saying that is vinasa, vinasa. Bhakti, it will destroy bhakti. So we are putting more of our energies into destructive things. The Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious life. It's an investment. What do we invest it much? Our energy into, that's our future. Something we devote more time to, we give more attention to, or something which is the priority in our life. What is it that we give more attention to? Our 24 hours. Our 24 hours. What is it that we give more attention to? Chanting? Hearing? Preaching? We should analyze it, we should look at it. What is it we give much of our attention to every day? And we're going to do that for the rest of our life as a devotee. What is it that we give much attention to? It's our investment. The thing which we think more, which we remember more, which we like to do more, is our investment. That will produce results. So devotees who are very conscious, devotees who are really Krishna conscious, are not surprised about how things are going or things are working. So either we are becoming Krishna consciously successful, or we are not making much advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's not difficult. It's not difficult to understand. When we examine the activities which we give a priority to the whole day, the whole life, it's a future. Rupa Goswami, we want to build our consciousness so we know where we should put much of our investment in. Because whatever we invested more, that is where we are going to win more. If it is chanting, you are going to get more. If it is hearing Krishna consciousness or speaking Krishna katha, we are going to win more. If it is Krishna consciousness activities or good association or motivating devotees Krishna consciously, it will tell in our success in Krishna consciousness. So Rupa Goswami is explaining, ati ahara. Overeating, over collecting. Over means what? Greed. Greed is very dangerous in material life, material greed. There's spiritual greed. There is a spiritual greed. There's material greed. Spiritual greed is good. It's good. Rupa Goswami himself, he advised us to become spiritually greedy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described to be greedy. He's greedy for Krishna Prema. Why should we be greedy for Krishna Prema? That is wonderful. But the greed we are talking about is not the spiritual greed that one is forgiving, in foregoing. One is so busy in Krishna consciousness, in chanting and hearing and doing services, that he has forgotten to eat, has forgotten to sleep, has forgotten everything. He is just 24 hours fixed. That is wonderful. That is our investment, and that should be the best investment. That's the best investment we should go into. That is wonderful. But we're looking at mundane greed. Mundane greed. Greed. A greedy person is never satisfied. Never. Greed does not satisfy. It continues to burn. Like when one adds fuel to fire, it burns. So we have so many greedy personalities who ruin their life, both materially and spiritually. In material life, so in spiritual life. So greedy. They destroy their life. Greed. Greed. Bhagavad Gita mentioned that greed is one of the gates that leads to hell. Greed. A devotee should not be greedy. A devotee should be moderate. Chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita talk about a yogi, right? A yogi should be moderate. Not too much, not too little. It should be moderate. Balance. Krishna consciousness is about balancing. Balancing the life. So Prabhupada said, human life is meant for plain living and high thinking. Plain living, high thinking. If one lives simple life, you have good intelligence. If one live a flamboyant life, your intelligence will be low. Oh, in the morning we're talking about what is that? Disappear from my head. The danger of sense gratification. We were speaking about how dangerous sense gratification is. Sense gratification is very dangerous. Like it will take our self-interest away and leave us with empty life. We forget our self-interest and very, very attached to mundane things, which will not help us. So we will live a very sophisticated life. We will forget our real duty. So simple life will give us chance to think very high. Thinking very high means we think about Krishna consciousness activities. We think very high. Since all conditioned living beings are under the control of Lord's state energy, this material world is designed so that one is obliged to work. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has three main primary energies or potencies. The first is called Antaranga Shakti, or internal potency. The second is called Tatastha Shakti, or the marginal potency. The third is called Bahiranga Shakti, or the external potency. The living entities constitute the marginal potency, and they are situated between the internal and external potencies. Beings of ordinate are central as eternal servant to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Jivatmas, or atomic living entities, must remain under the control of either the internal or external potencies. When they are under the control of the internal potency, they display their natural constitutional activity, namely, constant engagement in devotional service of the Lord. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:13. Bahadmanas tumbam partha divim prakitim mashita. Pajanti ananya manasu gatva bhutadim abhyayam. So we have two people here, Mahatma and Duratma. They are completely opposite. Mahatma and Duratma, they are different people. What is the difference between Mahatma and Duratma? What is the difference? Both are human beings. Not that the Mahatma has two heads and Duratma has one. No, both of them has one head. So what's the difference? Or the difference between the devotee and non-devotee? What's the difference? What is the difference between the devotee and non-devotee? Hare Krishna devotee would distribute books, and so many book distributors all over the world. What's the difference? Very good. Very good. Something else. The Mahatma. Mahatma is selfless. Selfish. Duratma is selfish. Mahatma is selfless. A Mahatma, he works 100% fully 10 hours also, like a Duratma. Both of them, they are working very hard. What is the difference? Mahatma is working for Krishna. A Duratma is working for himself, for his senses. There is a difference. One is working for Krishna, one is working for the senses. They are doing the same thing, but their consciousness is different. They have a different consciousness. They have a different understanding. I'm a servant of Krishna, so my service is meant for Krishna's pleasure. That's a Mahatma. A Duratma, a crippled-minded person. Yes, I'm the Lord, so everything is about me. It's for me. It's a Duratma. So, the activities which we do in Krishna consciousness are being done by non-devotees. Non-devotees also do. We distribute books. There are also so many book distributors. So many bookshops everywhere. We cook also. So many cooks all over the world. The same. We eat everywhere in the world. All species of life, they eat. We sleep. They all sleep as well. Everything we do, so many people are doing even better. Do you know that the Mayavadis and personalists, they are more holistic than Hare Krishna devotees? Externally. They have more respect. Narayan, all of you are Narayan. They are very, very careful. You are all Narayan, so they have respect. Hare Krishna devotees, even if you call you Prabhu, I'll still insult you. But my video will not do that. You are all Narayan, so they will respect you as Narayan. They don't disturb you. But what is the difference? Krishna does not know them. Krishna knows his devotees. Because of our consciousness, is connected with him. So Krishna knows. He knows the devotee. The devotees who are working for him. Therefore, he doesn't play with his devotees. He's very, very careful with his devotees. Only when a person gratifies the senses of the Supreme Lord can he be called a Mahatma, or broad-minded person. He's a broad-minded person. When the individual jiva souls are under the control of the internal energy, their only engagement is the satisfaction of Krishna or Vishnu. This is the position of a Mahatma. If one is not a Mahatma, he's a Duratma or a crippled-minded person. Such mentally crippled Duratmas are put under the control of the Lord's external energy, Mahamaya. Indeed, all living entities within this material world are under the control of Mahamaya, whose business is to subject them to the influence of truthful miseries, adhidaivika klesha, sufferings caused by the demigods, such as droughts, earthquakes, and storms, adhibhautika klesha, sufferings caused by other living entities like insects or enemies, and adhyatmika klesha, sufferings caused by one's own body and mind, such as mental and physical infirmities. Deva bhutana hitava. The conditioned soul subjected to these three miseries by the control of the external energy suffer various difficulties. The main problem confronting the conditioned soul is the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. In the material world, one has to work for the maintenance of the body and soul. But how can one perform such work in a way that is favorable for the execution of Krishna consciousness? Everyone requires possessions such as good food grains, clothing, money, and other things necessary for the maintenance of the body. But one should not collect more than necessary for his actual basic needs. If this natural principle is followed, there will be no difficulty in maintaining the body. Everyone suffers in this material world because of greed. Now the money, the Muni made an experiment by examining all species of life. All species of life. Narada Muni studied all. And his conclusion is that human beings are more miserable than other species of life. Why human beings are more miserable? We have more facilities. Human beings will have more facilities than other living entities. But the human beings are more miserable than other living entities. Why? Why? Greed. Greed. We are greedy. So Prabhupada gave example. According to nature's arrangement, living entities lower on the evolutionary scale do not eat or collect more than necessary. Consequently, in the animal kingdom, there is generally no economic problem or scarcity of necessities. If a bag of rice is placed in a public place, birds will come to eat a few grains and go away. A human being, however, will take away the whole bag. He will eat all his stomach can hold and then try to keep the rest in storage. According to scriptures, this collecting of more than necessary atyahara is prohibited. Now the entire world is suffering because of it, atyahara. Greed is making the whole world to suffer. While collecting more than what is necessary for one person is getting what 100 people can get. It goes to one person. Even this day, more than what the whole world, the whole country can have. One person is collecting all. That is greed. We are getting what are meant for other living entities. That is greed. While people are suffering, looking for what to eat, some are eating and throwing food away. In all Hare Krishna temples, you have that. Have a lot of throw away. That is atyahara. We are disturbing the food which is meant for other people. It is said that every grain has the name of somebody inside. Every grain has a name for somebody. Huh? Is it not? So we were taking more, means what? We are depriving other people from their share. That is greed. And the world is suffering because of that. The whole world is suffering because of that. The greed of somebody. So devotees should not be greedy. What does it mean? What does it mean? Devotees should not be greedy. When food is available, we should consider that this food is not meant for me alone. It is for everybody. Even the people I'm not seeing now. Even the people I'm not seeing now, Krishna will send them. You need food. Go to my temple there. There is food there. Krishna can send people here. When Krishna sees that we are responsible, Krishna will send people. Send people. Go there. I have food for you there. Go there. You get mercy. When Krishna sent people here, somebody have eaten it and is suffering from constipation. We're going to spend money to treat that in the hospital. It's greed. It will affect our progress in Krishna consciousness. So we should be very conscious. We should be conscious of everything around us. Collecting and eating more than necessary also causes prayasa. Prayasa. Or unnecessary endeavor. Over endeavoring for mundane things which are difficult to obtain. Prayasa. If your salary is 50,000 and you want to buy a car which is costing 10 million, what is that? Huh? Prayas. You have no work, you have no house, and you're getting married. What is that? How do you call that? Huh? Prayas. I met one devotee in Ghaziabad temple. Say devotee, Ghaziabad temple. Is he in India? On a Sunday field lecture, he asked me a question. He wants to get married. He has no money, he has no house, he has no work. He wants to get married. I said, so Prabhu, why do you want to get married? Where is the house? Where is the money? Where is the job? You have no job, you have no money, you have no house, want to get married. What is that? You are endeavoring for something which is more than you, which is beyond you. You will destroy your devotion and destroy other people's devotion. It's prayas. So civilized people say, cut your coat according to your size. You understand? Cut your coat according to your size. Oversize will not fit you, and undersize also will not fit you. If you cut it according to our size, it will fit us. We should try to live the life according to how our capacity is. A simple devotee is not working. A devotee is not working. You are not eating any money. And you want to buy Galaxy X9. What is that? Prayers. Where's your income? And if he eventually buys it, means what? If he eventually buys that, it means yes, it means greed, all the greed. Yes, you work hard, right? Yes, you should work hard. You see, work hard to get it. That's okay. But my question was, if he's not working hard, even if he work hard, he's not going to get it by his nature. He's not going to get that. But he managed to get it. Yes, when we do that to get more money, what will happen to our bhakti? Yes, bhakti will be affected. Bhakti cannot grow in that way because that is not the process. We have gone the wrong way. I'm doing most of the time you see devotees sacrifice the japa for other activities. Maybe I have more services to do, so I'm sacrificing my japa for that. That is pious. It's pious. You should try to understand what it means. The primary activity, we are neglecting that for secondary activities. We cannot have a perfect service if we don't have a good chanting. Good chanting means good service or services means you have a good chanting. If our japa is very good, our service will be very, very good. If japa is bad, all our activity will be very bad. Even if you do the whole service in the world, it will not be offerable. Our service will be offerable when our japa is very good, wonderful. So it becomes prayers if we are neglecting japa for something else. Or we are managing during japa time, we are managing during class time. It is prayers. It may look like devotional service, but to have a serious effect, negative effect, in our practice. The Krishna consciousness is meant for those who are very, very intelligent. Not intelligent, but very, very intelligent. Very, very intelligent people. Very, very intelligent people do devotional service. That's what it means. That we can carefully understand what we're supposed to do and how to do them for ultimate results. That will bring us sufficient results. By God's arrangement, anyone in any part of the world can live very peacefully if he has some land and a milk cow. There is no need for man to move from one place to another to earn livelihood. For one can produce food grains locally and get milk from cows. That can solve all economic problems. Fortunately, man has been given higher intelligence for the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, for the understanding of God, one's relationship with Him, and the ultimate goal of life, love of God. Unfortunately, so-called civilized man, not caring for God realization, utilizes his intelligence to get more than necessary and simply eat to satisfy the tongue. It's a misuse of intelligence. Those factories, slaughterhouses, bottles, and liquor shops are opened. If people are advised not to collect too many goods, eat too much, or work unnecessarily to possess artificial amenities, they think they are being advised to return to a primitive way of life. Generally, people do not like to accept plain living and high thinking. That is their unfortunate position. Human life is meant for God realization, and a human being is given higher intelligence for this purpose. Those who believe that this higher intelligence is meant to attain a higher state should follow the instructions of the Vedic literatures. By taking such instruction from higher authorities, one can actually become situated in perfect knowledge and give real meaning to life. Life begins from Varna Ashram. That is the beginning of civilization. Civilization begins from Varna Ashram. A society is perfectly divided according to our activities, according to our nature. And we function within that. That is human life. in civilization. A civilized people, they follow religion. As stated above, Dharma Shia Hi Apabarga Shia Narutu Artayu Pa Kalpate Kalpate. Religion is meant for attaining emancipation, not for getting bread. Religion is not about to fill our belly. That we can do without going to any religious place to fill our belly is not a religion, not the purpose of religion. Animal doesn't pray for their daily bread before they get it. So human beings not think it is civilization to pray for God, pray to God. No, the religion is beyond that. Religion, properly explained here, sometimes human society manufactures a system of so-called religion aimed at the material advancement. But that is far from the purpose of true Dharma. Religion entails understanding the laws of God, because the proper execution of these laws ultimately leads one out of material entanglement. This is religion, to follow the laws of God and get ourselves out of material entanglement. That is religion. That is the real purpose, that is the true purpose of religion. Unfortunately, people have saved religion for material prosperity because of atyahara, or an excessive desire for such prosperity. True religion, however, instructs people to be satisfied with the bare necessities of life while cultivating Krishna consciousness. Even though we require economic development, true religion allows it only for supplying the bare necessities of material existence. Now, Rupa Goswami talked about prajalpa. Prajalpa. Another impediment is prajalpa, unnecessarily talking. Prajalpa. It has two side effects. Prajalpa has two side effects. One will become spiritually dry. Second, our material desires will increase. When one is spiritually dry, our senses will become very strong for gratification. It's that two side effect for prajalpa. When we mix with a few friends, we immediately begin unnecessarily talking, sounding just like croaking toads. If we must talk, we should talk about the Krishna consciousness movement. Those outside of Krishna consciousness movement are interested in reading heaps of newspapers, magazines and novels, solving crossword puzzles, and doing many other nonsensical things. Newspapers, magazines, they are all what? Prajalpas. Intelligent persons interested in Krishna consciousness will never take part in such activities. Talking about anything which has nothing to do with Krishna. In other words, we are allowed only to speak within Krishna consciousness. Within Krishna consciousness. Anything outside is prajalpa. Apart from gross Talking about unnecessary things or reading mundane magazines or newspapers or novels. So the Prophet mentioned that speculative knowledge is also prajalpa. Speculative knowledge is prajalpa. Mayavad philosophy is prajalpa. They are all waste of time. Because nobody will benefit from it. So we should avoid talking about something which will not help anyone in Christian consciousness. Better to remain silent than to talk. Because whatever we say, whatever we do, and whatever we did not say, we don't do, become a standard for others. Everybody will follow. The things we do or we don't do, people will follow. The things we say, we don't say, people will follow. So we have the responsibility to do the right thing, to say the right thing. So people will follow that. Jnana Sangha refers to associating with persons not interested in Krishna consciousness. Jnana Sangha include even our family members who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. It is Jnana Sangha. Jnana Sangha. It means what? Association that has no Krishna consciousness inside. A whimsical association. It should be avoided. Srinathan Das Thakura has therefore advised us to live only in association of Krishna conscious devotees. One should always engage in the service of the Lord in association of the Lord's devotees. Association with those engaged in a similar line of business is very conducive to advancement in that business. That is true. If you associate with a lawyer, he's going to talk about law. He won't talk about medicine. He will talk about law. So if you are a lawyer and associating with a lawyer, your profession will be more livening to you, encouraging to you. You have more knowledge, have more experience if you associate with that way. So if you want to be a devotee, it is better to associate with devotees who will do the same thing you are doing. They want to talk the same thing you are talking. Everything we do is the same. So it will be encouraging. So Prabhupada gave an example here. Business people of the same field, they find it very comfortable to associate with each other. And that will give them more experience. Similarly, devotees will associate with devotees. Because if you chant with a devotee, it's normal. It's normal. When you talk about Krishna with devotees, it's normal. Everybody would like to hear you. But if you talk about Krishna with non-devotees, that would be strange. That would be strange. So to make advancement, it requires association. And even within devotees association, we still have to select that devotee who had the same mood with us. Not every devotee. If you want to chain and association with a devotee is not completing sitting around every day, it's bad association for you. So even when the devotee who should select, which devotee is interested in reading, so I will just say with that devotee, so I can read. If I should say with the devotee not reading, it's bad association for me because he's not going to read and it will affect me. It's bad association for me if you associate with the devotee you're not going to chant. It's bad association for me if I have to associate with the devotee whose every word has nothing to do with Krishna. It's about complaints, about all the wrong things. About all the wrong things. Of all the things in this world, there's nothing good you can see. That we only talk about bad things. So even within the devotee, you have to select who is that person encouraging in the quality of devotion I want to have in my Krishna consciousness. Right? You should select that person. Then Krishna consciousness become very sweet. As you say, those engaged in similar line of business is very conducive to advancement in that business. Consequently, materialistic persons perform various associations and clubs. Materialistic persons form various associations and clubs to enhance their endeavor. For example, in the business world, we find such institutions at the stock exchange and chamber of commerce. Similarly, we have established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give people an opportunity to associate with those who have not forgotten Krishna. This is the purpose of ISKCON. ISKCON temples are not for making money. ISKCON temples are meant for what? Give association to those who have not forgotten Krishna. For association. So, if we continue to distribute books, and expand, and make more devotees, but no one is being trained, what is that? How do you call that? Prayas. This is prayas. Expansion without boiling the milk is prayas. So our business is not just to distribute, bring devotees. After bringing devotees, and then what? Boil the milk. Without boiling the milk, it is prayas. It's bad association. So Prabhupada said the purpose of ISKCON is to give an opportunity to associate with those who have not forgotten Krishna. This spiritual association offered by our ISKCON movement is increasing day by day. Many people from different parts of the world are joining this society to awaken their dormant Krishna consciousness. So if we don't give people chance to awaken our Krishna consciousness by training, systematic training. I'm not talking about just book knowledge, the practical application of our knowledge in our day-to-day life to become that Goswami. It is prayas. That is prayas. Unnecessary over endeavoring. So we should know the purpose of ISKCON. To fan people's devotion, which is religion. If you fan Krishna consciousness in the Christian consciousness in every living entity. We should find it every day, so that our Christian consciousness comes out. That's the purpose of ISKCON, the purpose of having a temple. A temple is a temple for what it is. It's a training ground. It's a training. A temple is a training ground. That is the purpose of a temple. It's a training ground to train people to become fully Krishna conscious. That is the purpose of ISKCON. Anything outside this is prayers. We are unnecessarily endeavoring. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura Prabhupada writes in his Anuvritti commentary that too much endeavor to acquire knowledge on the part of mental speculators or dry philosophers fall within the category of atyahara, collecting more than needed. The karmis labor to accumulate more and more money for future generations only because they do not know their future position. And Prabhupada gave us a story, a very nice story. And this story should help us to accept fully that there is reincarnation. The soul does not die, there is reincarnation. The soul reincarnates. And there is no guarantee that if one is a merchant or a successful businessman or business lady this lifetime, in the next life one also maintain the same position. There is no guarantee of that. Karma is labor to accumulate more and more money for future generations only because they do not know their future position. Interested only in getting more and more money for their sons and grandsons. Such foolish persons do not even know what their position is going to be in the next life. There are many incidents that illustrate this point. Once, a great karmi accumulated a vast fortune for his sons and grandsons. But later, according to his karma, he took his birth in a cobbler's house located near the building which in his previous life he had constructed for his children. It so happened that when this very cobbler came to his former house, his former sons and grandsons beat him with shoes. Unless the karmis and gyanis become interested in Krishna consciousness, they will simply continue to waste their life in fruitless activities. I have worked very hard to provide for the family members. So Krishna made him to leave the body and he still remember. He's not even born in that house. Sometimes one can be born in that house as a cockroach. When one is very attached. But his own karma is so high, so heavy, that he's born not even as another businessman. He's a cobbler. What is the position of a cobbler in a society? Cobbler. What is his position? It's a low class profession. That's a low class profession. Now imagine you are walking into a big mansion where people are living a sophisticated life, and I walk in there to say, "See, I'm your father. I built this house." What nonsense are you talking? They threw him out of the house. Nonsense. "I'm your father. I constructed this way." He even called the name. Do you remember? They remember, yes, our father's name. That was our father's name, but you are not my father. Get out of this house. They threw him out of the house. Helplessly, he left the house. Happy? No, not happy, frustrated. Why frustration?
He's looking at
his labor. I suffered to build this house. Now I cannot enter there. And I'm living here having difficulty to maintain even something to eat, to maintain this body, very, very difficult. But you see, people are enjoying what I have established, I suffered to establish. I'm here, I'm suffering. They don't even recognize me. He made an attempt to go and introduce himself. The result was that he was beaten and pushed out of the place. That is how karma works. Next one is accepting some of the scriptural rules and regulations for immediate benefit. As utilitarian's advocate is called Niyama Agraha. And neglecting the rules and regulations of the sastras, which are meant for spiritual advancement, is called Niyama Agraha. Agraha and Agraha. Niyama Agraha. The two words. Agraha means eagerness to accept. Agraha. Niyama Agraha, eager to accept. Niyama Agraha, failure to accept. A devotee should accept rules and regulations because they help us to make advancement in Christian consciousness. For example, we are accepting no illicit, no gambling, no intoxication, no flesh eating. These rules, we should accept them because they help us to become human beings to practice Christian consciousness. So we should accept. And there are rules which are just formalities, which will not help our Christian consciousness. They are formalities, or we can say hereditary rules, not scriptural rules. Hereditary rules is something which our forefathers have been doing. So we just follow to do it. One man, he has a son, whom he trained very nicely in school. And the boy has graduated and is working very nicely. But the parent, they worship Ganesh. So the father said, my dear boy, let's go to Ganesh temple. He said, for what? The boy said, for what? We want to go and do puja for Ganesh. He says, for what? So we can get our business to be successful. The boy said, I have a big salary, big position, so why should I worship Ganesh again? My salary is okay, my job is okay, so I don't need to worship Ganesh. The father cannot convince him because he does not know the scripture. He's simply following blindly. So we should follow the rules and regulations which help our Christian consciousness. And the rules and regulations which does not help our Christian consciousness, we should not just blindly follow. We should keep them aside. If we follow things blindly, we will not succeed. This example of ancestral well. Ancestral. Understand? Ancestral. How do you call it? Petri. Right? Yes. Ancestors. They have a well which the whole village used to drink. Everybody drink from this well. Any place from this village, you drink water from this village. In due course of time, the well became polluted. It's contaminated. So what to do? Should we continue to drink it? No. What people continue to drink, and they contracted cholera and died. That is the danger of blind following. We don't follow things because it is healthy, our progress. We follow because this is what is our tradition used to do. But does it help you become Krishna conscious? You must consider that. Therefore, we should not follow blindly, neither should we reject blindly. If you follow blindly, you won't succeed. If you reject blindly, also you will not succeed. So we should have intelligence to know what are the things that should be accepted and what are the things that should be rejected. When that is done, our Christian consciousness will be successful. We do things for knowledge. When we do things for knowledge, we benefit. Karmis, Gyanis, Yogis, they are all selfish. All of them are selfish. According to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, they are all selfish. All of them. Yes. They are all selfish people. Devotees, selfless. So it does not matter if power is in the hand of a gyani or a karmi or siddhis, yogis. It doesn't matter who is controlling. What matters is, as a devotee, who's a devotee that is non-selfish? That he living a universal principle which will benefit everyone. That's the most important thing. A universal principle which he follow. Only a Krishna conscious person has the welfare of others in his or her heart. A devotee has the welfare of others. That is the idea of preaching. Preaching means compassion. The true compassion that we want to help people in difficulties. We want to give facilities for people to get connection with Krishna and perfect their life. A person who is not compassionate cannot preach Christian consciousness. And one cannot be compassionate if you don't know who you are. You don't know who the people are. Our material scientists cannot help us. Our politicians cannot help you because they don't know who they are. And they don't know who we are. The devotees know who they are. And they know what we are. Therefore, they have compassion. And that compassion, they preach Krishna consciousness to deliver people. It's a devotee. And Prabhupada gave example, perfect example. Nothing can be solved by placing wealth in the hands of the communist or the capitalist. If $100 bill is lying on the streets, someone may pick it up and put it in his pocket. Such a man is not honest. Another man may see the money and decide to let it remain there, thinking that he should not touch another's property. Although this second man does not steal the money for his own purposes, he is unaware of its proper use. The third man who sees the $100 bill, they pick it up, find the man who lost it, and deliver it to him. This man does not steal the money to spend for himself, nor does he neglect it and let it lie in the street. By taking it and delivering it to the man who has lost it, this man is both honest and wise. Who is that person? Who is this person? Srila Prabhupada ki. It's the Prabhupada. You don't see that it's Prabhupada? It's Prabhupada. Prabhupada see all of us as what? Christians pass and parcel, and he giving us a ticket to go back to God. He didn't just say all of your philanthropic activity means what? Don't worry, you are in a jail. Don't worry, I can come and give you food. Don't just remain here. That's a philanthropic activity. Give people food, give people dress, give people nice education, clothing. Keep people here. Don't worry, stay here. It doesn't know the purpose. Or use people for our own sanctification, manipulating people. That's dangerous. But Papa didn't do that. He introduced us, come here, come. I know your father. You are just wasting time. I know your father. Come, I'll take you to your father, Krishna. This is what Prabhupada, he didn't mention his name here, but this is who he is a person who knows our father and is taking us back to our father without exploiting us, without letting us remain fools, useless and suffering in the material world. He's taking us back home, back to Godhead. This is true compassion. This is a true well-wisher. The only well-wisher of the living entities is Prabhupada. Now it's 1 minute to three. Hare Krishna. Any question? Only 1 minute to that. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for explaining so nicely. I had an inquiry regarding association. You were telling that if somebody is not like-minded, so you should not take it as association, it is bad association. So I wanted to ask that when we are living in association of devotees, so generally we find some good qualities in devotees and some bad qualities in devotees. So, and not always we are in association of very pure devotees, like, well, many great devotees. So in that case, is there is known as something selective association, and what we should do in that case? Because we find that there are some shortcomings and some good qualities also.
In association, take the good one and leave the bad one.
That challenge is there, how to do that?
For example, a devotee who is very good, is chanting very nicely. Take that one. Oh, this is a good devotee, is chanting very nicely. You can take that one. But after this devotee wake very early and chances are he will sleep the whole day and don't do night service, don't take that one. Right? Is it clear? Don't take that one. Take the one he's doing very, chanting nicely. He chants very, very nice. The West Indian chant. Take that one. Oh, okay, I'm encouraged. Let me wake up and chant very nicely.
So does that mean that we should associate with him only during chanting and not other time? Because other time we may take that bad things also, or what it is exactly?
Yes, when he is chanting very nicely, go and join him and chant. When he is sleeping, no, go, don't go there. Go and do something else. Now you go to another devotee who is not sleeping, who is reading. So join the one who is reading. So in this way, you are a honeybee. You get only the good things from different places. Leave the chaffs.
Second question, one more is there. You were telling about, very beautifully explaining about that, how we should not just go on preaching, but we should be focusing on training devotees. Otherwise it is prayas. So Maharaj, I wanted to ask that generally, like that it thing comes that while training also, there should be balance between preaching and training, or there should be only training. And if there should be only training, then how long and how much, and how to determine that it is now trained, he should go out and preach. So can you just clarify this?
How will you train if you don't have people? You have to preach to get the people, then you train. So we do both. We don't neglect one. We should preach because it's a preaching movement. But when we preach, people would like to follow us. So when we get people, we should not neglect them. We should now invest in them by training. training them scientifically in Krishna consciousness, so that their coming to Krishna consciousness will not be a waste. Then our job is balance. Just going and talking. How many books? Oh, we distributed 1 million books this way. We won the first prize. And then what is happening with the devotees in the temple? Nothing. That's not good. It's not preaching. Preach. Get people. Train them. Very good.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Can you share some incident of your life when you got trained by your superior to become such? Hare Krishna. Yes, there are many. Many incidents where we got trained by our superiors. There are many. Many. When my Gurudev is giving me a message to go and deliver, he's giving me a message, a verbal message. Go and tell this devotee this. He will not give the message and go. He will have me to repeat it to him until he knows the message is clearly understood before he will say, now you go. Because if the message is not properly understood, you are going to pass wrong information. That bad communication will react negatively. Oh, Guru say like this about me? Which he didn't say. And the message may not get back to him on time. It will get back when many things have been destroyed. Because many of us like to say, Guru say, Guru say. The Prabhupada said. Most of the things we say Prabhupada said were not said by Prabhupada. He said by us. But we use Prabhupada. We can create confusion. This is some of the training that we got. Make sure the message is clearly understood. You repeat it. Then you can go and deliver. This is how communication should be done nicely. Because communication is a very, very important tool in our life. And anything which is very, very important is also, if it is misused, can also act very, very powerfully. Because it's powerful. Another training was a brother, he did something which is not good to me, and it has happened many times. First time I tolerated philosophically, tolerated, philosophically tolerated, yeah, okay. Second time, third time, it's becoming a habit. So I complain. Gurudev, see what the devotee is doing. And I say, and then what? What did you do? That has happened. It's okay. But I want to know what was your reaction. How did you react to that? I didn't understand it that way before. I understand it in a different way. How did you react to the situation? What happened is not the issue. Because that will happen to you. And Krishna has made it to happen to you because Krishna wants you to be trained for something. What kind of a leader you are going to be tomorrow if you are not balanced? If you are not balanced, what will you do with your leadership? And how will you become balanced? By training. So what is your reaction? Did you react in such a way that that person becomes elevated in his Christian consciousness? Do we remember that when somebody insults us, we feel bad about it? Do we remember that we should act for the benefit of that person? Do we remember? Difficult, right? But Gurudev said, to be a leader means we have to always act in such a way that everybody benefits, including the so-called enemy. There are so many leaders everywhere in the world, but what is the quality of our leadership that is helping even so-called negative people to become positive? See the way Ramachandra reacted to an incident that happened in his kingdom. He taught everyone a good lesson to follow. So this is a leader that is going to make people feel protected in their Krishna consciousness. Not to have a position, the qualification. We said it yesterday and we're still repeating. The qualification must be there. And that qualification requires training, discipline. To always see Krishna in every situation and use that to make yourself advance in Krishna consciousness and help other people become also advanced in their Krishna consciousness. That is leadership. So this training we got. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.